You're listening to a message presented at Green Bay First. More information about Green Bay First can be found online at www.greenbayfirst.net. May God draw you closer to Him as you listen.
So glad to be sharing with you today. So this is my last Sunday as your lead pastor. Back in November of last year, I was fasting and praying for our church, and I just felt the Lord say, Jake, what if my plan to accomplish what you're asking me for at Green Bay First doesn't actually include you? And obviously, I said, get behind me, Satan, right? And so I prayed against that and started wrestling with that and rebelling against that, but I felt the Lord lead me to this idea of our church and New Freedom Church becoming one, and that He was creating something new and even more powerful for His kingdom here in Green Bay. And I love this church, and I love all of you, and I've never looked for another position, so it took months for me to come around to all of this. So 2 months ago, I talked with the elders of our church about this idea, the Lord leading me to kind of get out of the way so that He could arrange His bride in Green Bay however He wants to. And then I talked with them, and then 2 weeks after that, I stood before you, and I just tried my hardest to explain what God had spoken to me and what it meant for you and what it means for me. And if you were here that day, you know there was a lot of dust up here. There was a lot of allergies happening, but we got through it, and we tried our hardest to kind of convey what the Lord has been talking to us about. And this whole thing has been one of, if not the most difficult, painful thing I've ever been through. It's taken a lot of faith that I just didn't have, but thankfully God gave. And there have been a lot of tears with many of you, and there have been a lot of heated discussions with many of you. And that's okay, because these are real emotions, and I understand that. And so there have been some definite emotional moments throughout this, and today's just one of the many. These are real emotions, and so what have I learned through all of this? Never fast and pray. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Just don't do it, and it'll be fine. Like, don't fast and pray. And so, no, but seriously, if you don't want to do difficult things for God, if you don't want to give Him the final say in where you go, what you do, all of that, then really don't pray. Just don't pray. Don't fast. Don't spend time with Him. Live your life without Him, and you'll never have to change. You'll never have to be stretched. You'll never have to leave your comfort zone. You'll never have to do any of that. Just don't talk to Him, and it'll be great, right? But if you do want to do what He wants you to do, maybe you should ask Him. Maybe you should ask Him. Maybe you should spend some time praying, specifically saying, God, my life is yours. I'll go. I'm a blank canvas, God. You can take me wherever you want me to go. I'll give you everything. Anything's up. You can have my house. You can have the fact that I live next to my family. You can have my fears about leaving this town, leaving this country, whatever. You can have all of that. I'm a blank canvas. You can take me wherever you want, even if it's difficult. You see, I think a lot of us just assume that what we are doing is what God wants us to do. But maybe it's because we've never asked Him. Maybe it's because we've never gone, you know what, God, I forgot to ask you about this. I've been spending my life racing towards this, and I forgot to ask you about it. Is this what you want from me? I'm a blank canvas. You can take me wherever you want me to go. That would take a lot of humility to pray that prayer, right? You'd have to get through your pride. That's just a thought. Maybe you should ask Him. But after that announcement, we started praying towards this whole thing. And 2 weeks ago, we had a combined service with New Freedom and a Q&A after that night. Last Thursday, a couple days ago, you had a Q&A here with Pastor Jimmy of New Freedom Church. And I hear that went really well. And we've all been praying, and now we've gotten to a point where we need to vote on this thing. And so that's going to happen next week. And so don't miss next week. Member or no member, we want you to be here. And I want to be very clear. I'm praying you vote yes. I think you should vote yes. I believe this is God's will, and the answer is yes. Even in the midst of real questions and concerns and unknown and whatever else, I believe God has spoken clearly. This is his will. But tomorrow, it doesn't matter what I think. Some of you are like, thank Jesus, finally, God. I've been waiting to, I'm trying to outlast him for 4 years, right? No? Okay, I thought I would get like an amen on that. I was just leaving it for somebody. I instructed the ushers to tackle that person, but still, I was going to let that happen, all right? Yeah, tomorrow it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what you think. And so you need to be praying. You need to be asking God's will. You need to get that for yourself. But as I wrote this message, it was difficult. I mean, what do you say in your last sermon at a church you've loved, serving a people you deeply care about? What is there to say? I Googled it, right? I just Googled it, and I found some things that you're not supposed to say when you resign. Some things you're not supposed to say when you resign a job. These are things people say when they're mad, immature, and leaving a company. Let's see if any of these apply here, okay? So some of these things I've just been waiting to tell you, okay? I'm just kidding, not really. Number one, this is the worst company I've ever worked for. This is the best church, company, organization that I have ever been a part of. When I got here, there were a lot less people and a lot more problems, which is usually opposite, usually more people, more problems, right? But anyways, so it wasn't easy, but I can honestly say that I've loved every minute of it. Even the difficult times, God has done so much, hasn't he? He's done so much. Here's another one. No one is happy here. Lots of laughter. Lots of joy in this church. If you stick around, you're going to laugh. Or you're going to leave. All right? See? I got you to laugh. Okay. Thank you for the laughter. Thank you for the joy. The next one. Other people are getting promoted, and I'm going nowhere, so I'm leaving. Well, there's nowhere for me to get promoted to, so I'm good on that one, too. I was a little mad at one point. I asked the elders to promote me to grand potentate of the church, but they didn't do it. But that's just water under the bridge, all right? That's just water under the bridge. The next one, the product is not up to par. For us, it might be the ministry is not up to par. This church has been so fun to minister with. Just about everyone pitches in and gets stuff done for the glory of God and the sake of the lost in our city. A few weeks ago, we did extravaganza, over 1,400 people in this building. You were great. You were great. You loved the people of our community, and that's the product we have, the love of God in the gospel of his son Jesus, right? And you guys show that so well. You carry that so well. Thank you. The next thing not to say when you resign from a job, I wasn't compensated fairly. You didn't pay me enough, right? You didn't pay me enough. In ministry, money can't be a deciding factor, but I want you to know that our elders have always sought to bless me and my family. They've always sought to bless me and my family in every way. And I turned down a raise one time because I was just like, guys, we just don't have it. Like, I appreciate your love for me, but we just don't have this money that you're trying to give me. Like, they've always been like that. Their default is just, I want to bless my pastor in every way possible. I have never had to choose between ministry and providing for my family, ever. I've never had to make that choice because of the elders that God has placed in this place. So you have been generous to us too through gifts and dinners out and pastor appreciation offerings. Thank you. You have been a blessing. I want you to hear this. You have been a blessing to my family. For the 4 years we've been here, you have been a blessing to my family in every way. Another thing you're not supposed to say when you resign: I didn't have enough to do. I was always bored. Everybody say, not applicable. Yeah, it's been busy and it's been good. Never a dull moment with this bunch, right? So that's what I'm not supposed to say. But what am I supposed to say? Google couldn't really help me with that. There's so much that I want to say to you today, but I've had to kind of pick and choose here. Too much. I prepared a few things that I want you to hear. 5 things. I narrowed it down from 362. So 5 things. And I could have spent a lot of our time today talking about what God has done, what I have done, what the last 4 years have been here, but I just didn't think that would help you any. And so praise God for that, and we can reminisce about that. But really, I want to talk to you about what now? What do we do now? Where do we go from here now? And so I think that would be most helpful to you. So 5 things. Everybody say 5 things. Number one, these are just 5 things I want you to hear from your pastor, from Pastor Jake, before I leave. 5 things. Number one, trust the Holy Spirit to speak. Trust the Holy Spirit to speak. There's been this passage in Acts 16 that I just can't get out of my head, and I shared it with our staff maybe a month ago, and as we've prayed and asked questions and debated outcomes, and the weight of this whole thing has just been huge, I've found a lot of solace, a lot of peace, a lot of faith in this passage in Acts 16. And in it, the Apostle Paul has been doing what he's been doing for a while. He's been preaching the gospel to non-Jewish people and seeing thousands and thousands come to know Christ, and he's been doing that. And then Acts 15 is what's called the Council of Jerusalem. It was the first council, the first crisis of our young faith, and basically they were saying, is this a Jew thing or is it an everybody thing? And Paul was saying, it's an everybody thing. I've seen it happen already. And the Jewish council got together, the Council of Jerusalem got together, and they said reluctantly, hesitantly, yes, this is maybe bigger than us. And so they sent them back out to do what they had already been doing. And then the Apostle Paul and his crew, they go back out to spread the gospel. And look at what it says in Acts 16, starting in verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia, that's just north of here. All right. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Isn't this interesting? I mean, this is the Apostle Paul, writer of 75% of the New Testament, the greatest missionary that ever lived, okay? He is absolutely able to hear God's voice and operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's, let's go to Asia. Nope, Holy Spirit forbids it. Okay. Let's go to Bithynia. Nope, Spirit of Jesus says you're not allowed. Now where do we go? And he steps out, and God gives him a vision, and he goes to Macedonia, and he concludes that this is God's will. Door number one, no. Door number two, no. Door number three, this is where you go. I believe that if a group of people like us and New Freedom Church humbly and purposefully seek God about something, that he will speak. I trust the Holy Spirit to speak. I mean, is it a different Holy Spirit in Acts 16 that's closing these doors and moving them in a different direction? It's the same Holy Spirit, right? Isn't he just as able to forbid us to move forward and not allow us to go into a specific direction? Isn't he just as able to speak through visions and dreams and whatever else to get us going where he wants us to go? That it's Macedonia, not Asia or Bithynia. See, this is where belief and practice really meet, right? I mean, do you believe? You can just say God leads us and speaks to us, but do you really believe it? Because this is where it comes down to, I'm going to pray and hear from God, and I'm going to move forward, and he's going to close doors and open doors, and I'm going to trust him. This is where belief and practice really, really meet. Even if it, in your flesh, your human side, you don't agree with what's going on, even if there are way more cons than pros on your list, if God says, don't go there, go this way, then you got to decide, do I trust God more than myself or not? Do I trust God more than my doubts or not? Do I trust God more than all the cons I've been trying to come up with, all the negative things I've been trying to come up with? Do I trust God more than that or not? Jeremiah 29 says this, you will seek me and you will what? Find me. Everybody say, find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Listen, God's not playing some cosmic game of hide and seek here. This isn't him kind of watching us run through a maze like rats, seeing if we'll decide what he wants us to decide. He is absolutely into speaking to you. He is absolutely willing to speak to you, to be found by you. Now, I want to be clear. Just because he speaks and leads doesn't mean that everything is easy when you follow, right? You trusting the Holy Spirit to speak and then stepping out to follow what he says does not mean that everything will be easy. And in here we say, yeah, we know that, Pastor. We got that. We get that. It's not going to be easy. But out there, a lot of times what we say is, if it's God, it'll work out. If it's God, it'll be smooth. If it's God, we'll be prosperous. If it's God, this or that will happen. In Acts 16, the Apostle Paul and his group are forbidden from going to Asia. And then the Spirit of Jesus does not allow them to go to Bithynia. And then they get a vision to go to Macedonia. They turn to go there. On the way, they stop in Philippi. And 10 verses later, they are in jail. Paul and Silas are in jail. Wait, they followed God, right? But it put them in jail. Got them in jail. Just because you follow God, just because you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That's not the deal here. The easiness or smoothness of it has no bearing on whether it was God or not. Do you believe that? The easiness or the smoothness of it has absolutely no bearing on whether it was God or not. But what we tend to do is doubt and second guess at the first sign of trouble, right? Oh, we made a mistake. We should have gone to Asia. We should have gone to Bithynia. We're in jail. Obviously, this wasn't God. Way to go, Silas. Right? Start to blame others. Way to go. I told you we should have gone to Asia. I told you we should have gone to Bithynia. You got us thrown in prison. This is obviously not God. We jump on the Jeremiah 29:11 bandwagon. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you. We jump on that and say that if it's God, it'll be prosperous and easy. But we totally skip over part of that equation in Jeremiah 29:11, that the prospering and all that includes 70 years of captivity, 70 years of enslavement. 70 years of being beat down by your oppressors. Then it's, I'll prosper you. I'll take care of you. Read the rest of the chapter, Jeremiah 29:11, 70 years. Trusting the Holy Spirit to speak and following his voice doesn't mean it's all rainbows and unicorns. The difficulty on the other side of hearing God has no bearing on whether it was God or not in the first place. Make sense? No matter what happens with the merge, no matter what God's will is in that, my encouragement to you is that in all things, in all individual decisions, in all family decisions, in all church stuff, trust the Holy Spirit to speak. All right. Number two, trust the leaders God has put over you. Trust the leaders God has put over you. Look at Ephesians 4 real quick. Verse 7, it'll be on the screen, and then 11 and 12, it says this. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. God's authority does not flow through gifting. It flows through appointed offices. In other words, just because you sing the best doesn't mean you should lead the worship ministry or you know where it should go, right? Just because you preach the best doesn't mean that you should be the lead pastor or can even hear from God, right? Authority does not flow through gifting. It flows through appointed offices, whoever God puts in charge. So just because you're the smartest in the room or the most gifted prophet doesn't mean that you have the authority to tell the church where to go or to lead it or whatever. God's authority flows through appointed offices. In the local church, that's pastors and elders, shepherds. When Moses was leading the people out of Egypt, he didn't lead them out of Israel, that would have been backwards. But anyways, he led them out of Egypt. When he was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, there were absolutely more gifted leaders in that million-strong crowd, right? Absolutely better leaders. And yet God said, Moses, you will lead. There were absolutely better leaders when they were saying, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back. This is bad. Let's not go. Let's just go back to Egypt. But God had called Moses. And he said, Moses, take my people to the promised land. Don't go back to Egypt. Take my people to the promised land. God had spoken to Moses. Look at Hebrews 13, 17. It'll be on the screen. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. That's a warning to leaders. You will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. To this point, your leaders, your elders, your pastors have been appointed by God to keep watch over your soul. That isn't going to change going forward. Trust those leaders, current ones and future ones. Now, I'm not saying they won't mess up. I'm not saying that you should worship them, because God has chosen in his infinite wisdom to appoint imperfect leaders to lead an imperfect you. God, in his infinite wisdom, has chosen to appoint imperfect leaders to lead an imperfect you, imperfect vessels. That means that mistakes have been made and will be made. But listen, that only proves God's grace and mercy, right? That even though they're imperfect, we can trust them and trust God in putting them over us. It should give us some perspective that if God can use imperfect leaders, maybe he can use an imperfect me. Maybe if he can use imperfect leaders, he can use an imperfect me. They're not perfect, but we trust that even in their imperfection, God will lead our church, not just this year at this moment, but every year at every moment. Trust the leaders put over you. They will have to give an account to God. Trust God in that. Number three, everybody say number three. Look ahead, not behind. Look ahead, not behind. Our human tendency is to look behind, isn't it? The past is this funny thing. In fact, for all of our fear and anxiety and hope that people have for the future, the past is this thing that either makes where we are right now and where we're going very beautiful, full of life, steadfast, unshakable, or it's something that can rob us of vitality, energy, meaning, and hope now. What I mean by that is that if your past haunts you, if you're living off of past successes and not present realities, if you're burdened, overwhelmed by shame from past mistakes, then the vitality, the richness, and thickness of life now really suffers, right? This is one of the reasons that the Apostle Paul says that leaving what is behind and pressing on towards what is ahead is so important. We don't live off of past successes, and we don't get paralyzed by past failures, despite the fact that we have all had past successes and past failures that have shaped us. They do not right now completely make us, right? Let me show you that passage in Philippians 3. The Apostle Paul is talking about the surpassing power and joy of knowing Christ, obtaining that, getting there, not just to know about him, but to really know him and be known by him. It's Philippians 3, starting in verse 12. It says this, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." He says he forgets what lies behind. And just before this, he was talking about how awesome he is. He was talking about his pedigree, his zeal, how he, if he, anybody had a reason to boast, it was the Apostle Paul. He was just talking about that. So he's not just talking about forgetting the bad stuff, because that's how we usually think about this, right? Forget the bad stuff that's happened and move forward. You're not defined by that. Don't get stuck in past mistakes or what they said to you or what you believed back then. Don't get stuck there. Press on. And that's good, right? That's true. But it's not just bad experiences that hold us back. It's not just past failures. It's also past successes. The glory days. We're living off of something that happened years ago. We're stuck in the good of the past, so much so that we can't press on towards the future. And this is a potential problem in every church. It doesn't matter if the church has been around 1 year or 50 years or 150 years. You could be doing ministry 1 year and already be stuck in a rut, thinking that the way you've done things this last year is the only way that you can do them going forward. Celebrate what has happened in the past. Absolutely. This is my last Sunday, so I get to say, do you want me to answer that? Just kidding. All right. You don't think that's as funny as me? I thought it was hilarious. All right. Look at, celebrate the past, absolutely. Look at the last 4 years and celebrate what God has done in your life and in your church. Look at the last 40 years and celebrate. Look at the last 80 years. Did you know that this year in 2017, our church, Green Bay First, turns 80? Did you know that? You didn't know that? Yeah, I didn't either until like 2 days ago, all right? 1937, that's 80 years, right? 1937, I forgot to do the math on the calculator, okay? 80 years. Look at the past 80 years and celebrate what God has done. But then look ahead. Turn your attention towards the future. Be willing to adapt, change, move in a different direction as God leads. The message doesn't ever change, but the method absolutely does. Let go of preference. Let go of method. Let go of how you did it before. Hold tight to the message of the gospel alone. And press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This makes me think of a great passage in Ecclesiastes 7. If you haven't read Ecclesiastes lately, you should do it. It's just a really upbeat book, man. It'll make you feel great, okay? Ecclesiastes 7, I don't have time to really go through this passage. I'm just going to throw it out at you and you can study it later. 7, 8 through 10, and then 14. It says, "Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools." Listen to this. "Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider, God has made the one as well as the other." Look ahead, not behind. That's number three. Number four, be strong and courageous. Everybody say that. Ready? One, two, three. Be strong and courageous. Beloved, be strong. Be courageous. When it's hard to be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. When is it hard to be strong and courageous? One time is when you're up against something you can't seem to get through, that your oppressors seem so strong, and it's hard for you to stand up. It's hard for you to be strong and courageous in that moment, right? That's one moment. But there's another time that it's really hard to be strong and courageous. It's when you're faced with the unknown, when you're faced with uncertainty, when you're faced with a future that you're not sure about. It's very difficult in that time to be strong and courageous, when there's a big change and we can't predict the future. When all of a sudden we're ripped out of our comfort zone, when that happens, it's hard to be strong and courageous. I want to read to you a passage out of Joshua 1. It's basically the first nine verses. It's this pivotal moment in the life of Joshua. There's a lot of unknown ahead. Moses has just died. And let me just say that Moses was the man, all right? Moses was the man. He heard from God. He performed miracles. He talked to God directly. He was the man, okay? He was the leader from God. Like, he was it. Like, he was going to lead them to the promised land. He was patient and walking in a big circle for 40 years with these complaining Israelites out of Egypt. And he was that guy. He was awesome, right? He was the man. He was known as God's friend. He was the first person to be known as God's friend, because he would go into the tent of meeting and he would actually meet with God. God would show up in a pillar of smoke outside the door so nobody else could get in. Is that what happens in your prayer closet? I didn't think so, okay? You haven't gotten to Moses level yet, all right? You need to pray harder. You might see a pillar of smoke or a pillar of fire. I don't know. Moses was the man. But he died. He died. And the people of Israel going, now what? He was supposed to lead us into the promised land. Now what? And Joshua is going, now what? What do I do? Look at Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. Skip down to verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is God saying to Joshua, Moses died, but the message didn't. Moses died, but my promise didn't. My promise isn't carried just for a lifetime of a human. My promise far surpasses that. Everything I told you in Moses is still the case, Joshua. Lead them. What do I do, God? You be strong and you be courageous. You step over the Jordan and you take this land. But God, Moses was the leader. I'm not the leader. I don't know how to lead this people. You be strong and you be very courageous. You step over the Jordan and you lead this people into the land that I have promised them, because my promise did not die with Moses, my servant. This isn't in my notes. You guys are supposed to get excited about this. My promise didn't die. God's saying, I'm still the same. I'm still the same. Even in the midst of crisis, even in the midst of oppression, even in the midst of the unknown, where nothing seems clear, you can be strong and courageous. And you go, yeah, Pastor, that's easier said than done, right? And people go, I'm just not that person. I'm just not a brave person. I'm just not a strong and courageous person. That's just not who I am. It sounds great, Pastor, but if I could muster up strength and courage, I'd have already done it, right? Just telling me it three times in Joshua 1 doesn't really help me because I still got to figure out how to do it. But here's what I want you to hear. You're not supposed to be strong and courageous. You're not supposed to just be strong and courageous because of your awesomeness. That's not what this is about. The New Testament says that in our weakness, God is what? Strong. And that passage we just read in Joshua said, be strong and courageous. Why? Because I will be with you, says the Lord. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's why you can be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, not because you can do it, but because God can. Not because you can figure it out, but because God can. Not because you're able to keep everything together, but because God is. Be strong and courageous. Not because the process will be perfect, the leadership will be perfect, the plan is perfect, but because God is perfect. Be strong and courageous. God is with you. So five things I want to leave you with. Trust the Holy Spirit to speak. Trust the leadership God has placed over you. Look ahead, not behind. Be strong and courageous because God is with you. And number five, remember who ultimately leads the church. Acts 16 said the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go forward with their plans. Jesus stopped them and led them towards Macedonia. Ephesians 4 said, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Your leaders are made leaders because of the authority Christ gives them. Christ appoints them. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 said, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in what? Christ Jesus. He's not just looking ahead. He's looking ahead at Jesus. He's not just going ahead. He's going ahead towards Jesus. He's running for Jesus, right? And then Joshua 1 just said, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't forget who leads the church. It's Jesus. Our one job is to listen to him and follow. Glorify him. Do what he says. Obey him. That's why I've stood before you at different times and said directly that I feel like God has led me to go this way or that way, that God has spoken to me that this is God's will. That's why I'm doing that now, not because I'm trying to manipulate you, but because this is the job. I'm not leading a company or a business. I'm leading a church. And when you lead a church, you really have one job. Listen to Jesus and do what he says. Because he's the only one who can really lead the church. Are you tracking with me? Look at Hebrews 12 real quick. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to who? Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that good news? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, beloved, Jesus does not change. The prize does not change. The goal does not change. The leader of the church does not change. Run the way, race with endurance. The race that's set before you, church, this is not a sprint. You're going to need endurance. It's a long distance race. There will be a lot of changes, big and small. The person you're running behind may change. The person you're helping to run in the race may change. But Jesus doesn't change. The ultimate goal, the ultimate prize, the one who you're following, who everybody in this race is following, he does not change. Run the race with endurance, looking to Jesus. Don't forget who leads the church. It's Jesus. I'm just an under-shepherd. He's the leader. He's the good shepherd. He's the king. Jesus is the only one you can call the founder and perfecter of your faith. Don't forget this. When trials come, don't forget this. When decisions need to be made, don't forget this. Trust the Holy Spirit to speak. Trust the leaders God has put over you. Look ahead, not behind. Be strong and courageous. And whatever you do, don't forget who leads the church. I started today with a list of things that you're not supposed to say when you resign. There was one more, the last one on that list. I'm concerned about the company's future. This one's the whole, you're on a sinking ship anyway, so I'm out, right? Some of you might have let something like that slip out of your mouth when you resigned a job. It wasn't wise. You're not supposed to say something like this when you resign. Well, it definitely does not apply here. Listen closely. I, Jake Mills, lead pastor of Green Bay First for the last 4 years, am not concerned about our church's future. Bright days, big days ahead for you. If you'll press in, lean on, trust the lover of your soul, Jesus Christ, that I really do believe the best is yet to come. Will you stand with me? Here's my prayer for you. May you remember fondly our time together and all that God has accomplished, but fix your eyes on what lies ahead, not behind. May you trust in God to lead you and guide you, and may you run, not without aim or purpose, but looking to Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith. Thank you so much for letting me be your pastor. It's been an honor and a privilege. I have no reason to leave this church, but the voice of the Holy Spirit bidding me to do so. I want you to know that. There's nothing else. I love you.
Thank you for listening to this audio message by Green Bay First. Pastors and speakers, you're welcome to copy this in your own sermons. Just don't sell it for monetary gain as your own. Feel free to make copies of this audio message file to give to others, but when doing so, please copy it in its entirety as it is presented here. Again, thank you for listening, and we pray that God's Spirit use this message to draw you closer to Christ.